So today, right now, we're going to hear Brother Ian Robson, who's been a co-worker with me for 37 years. The work in Bangalore started with both of us. I want to say something. He's a very unassuming brother, and he and I, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have strong convictions. We are completely different in personality, and we have disagreed at different times, but we have never been disunited even once in 37 years, not for a single day. And that has been the strength of this church. Wherever the elders get divided, you can say the devil has destroyed the church. You may think nothing has happened. When elders are divided, the devil has destroyed that church. You can still function as a church like Saul sitting on the throne. But the devil's not succeeded in Bangalore because God has preserved us in unity. It doesn't mean we have agreed. One of the things Ian and I can demonstrate, just like my wife and I can demonstrate at home, is disagreement does not mean disunity. In fact, agreement can sometimes mean that one strong elder just tells the other fellow, you better listen to me. That type of unity is useless, good for nothing. That's like a one-man show, like a pope. And I tell you, the Protestant popes are more dangerous than the Roman Catholic one. So we don't want any Protestant popes. We have equal elders who want to be united. So I greatly respect and value Brother Ian for his prophetic gift, and he's going to share the word with you.
I'm grateful to the Lord and privileged to I've been working together with Brother Zach for 37 years. When God called me out of my job and I left the railways and went into full time, giving up everything. Not very long after that, I was very disillusioned. As a full time worker, I sought for reality. And I spent not many years as a full-time worker, but I'm thankful to God that the Lord put me together with Brother Zach in a denominational church. And like we heard today, we wanted the whole counsel of God even from that time. So when we found that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not accepted, the teaching it should not be preached in that church, we finally had to leave. And the church was born in Brother Zach and Sister Annie's home in 1975. And I must say, my testimony before God and before you all, that what I was seeking for in full-time Christian work and denominations and organizations that I worked in, I found only in the church. And I'm really thankful to God that I believe that when we see the body of Christ, that is everything. Because that is what God is doing. He's building a body. And to me, at least, I know that that is the greatest work that I can do on this earth. To be part of building the body of Christ. And I would ask you, what would be the greatest work that you would consider? What would be your life's greatest accomplishment on this earth in this one lifetime? For many people it is to serve the Lord full time. For many people it's to win souls. That's all good. To do miracles, to heal the sick. Yeah, we have prayed as a church for supernatural healing when we see people have to pay such huge hospital bills. And so many other things. To raise the dead, is that the greatest work that we can do on the earth? Or to preach like Brother Zach? I never attempted him. I know I can never do it. Never preach like him because I don't have the grace that God has given him. But I consider that all of us, if we have chosen to be disciples, the greatest work, my dear brothers and sisters, that you and I can do in our lifetime is to build the body of Christ. I want you to look at a word in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. If I may explain, we have heard a little while ago, the body of Christ is the family of God on the earth. I hope you understand that. You know, we can think the body of Christ. But the body of Christ is the family of God on earth. That's the church of Jesus Christ. It's a family. You know, it's not just, it's a building. That's how the scriptures describe it. It's a habitation of God in the Spirit. John chapter 14 in verses 12 to 13, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Jesus said there that we will do greater works than he will do. That means, what does that mean to you and me? If Jesus healed 20 people, I heal 40 people. If Jesus raised 5 people from the dead, I raise 10 people from the dead. Is that what he's speaking about? The greater, you do greater works than these, he will do, because I go to the Father. And I, as I was saying just now, there's nothing greater than to build the body of Christ. There's nothing greater in God's eyes than to see the family of God, the church of Jesus Christ being built up. And we heard a little while ago, we can do that by, we may not have some fantastic ministry, we may not have the gift of to be able to preach well, but we can encourage one another and build up one another. And that's a great work. And this is what Jesus said that we can do. Greater works than these we'll do because I go to the Father. And to be able and equipped for this work, we need to understand the whole purpose of God. And in understanding the whole purpose of God, we proclaim it to others. And that is how I can build the body of Christ. If I don't understand the whole purpose of God, I don't want to understand one part of it, one facet like we heard in the last meeting, I can't build the body of Christ. And I'm not willing to accept the whole purpose of God. Then I can only do something that will ultimately on that day be burned up. In Matthew chapter 12, if you would turn with me there, Matthew chapter 12, when in this incident, when the disciples were walking through the grain fields, they were hungry, they were plucking the grains of corn and eating, and the Pharisees took objection to that. And he said to them in Matthew chapter 12, verses 3 to 7, but he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry? He and his companions, how he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." And if you go down that chapter in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41 to 42, Jesus said, "The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." Something greater than the temple, something greater than Jonah, something greater than Solomon. What is this something greater? Notice that Jesus didn't say someone greater. He says something greater. That was the kingdom of God. And that was the church, which is part of the kingdom of God. That's what he was speaking about, something greater. And that is something that we need to see, my brothers and sisters. Not
just understand in our heads that we need to see it. I thank God for giving me that revelation. I found what I was seeking for. I found fulfillment in what I was doing. Not that, you know, I want to be an elder, I want to have a position in the church, or I want to be recognized. But Lord, whatever you want me to do, I want to build the body of Christ. I want to build your family here. In the 37 years that we have worked together with Brother Zach and now with Brother Newton, that's what we have sought to do. We don't seek to make a name for ourselves. We want to build the brothers and sisters up. We want to connect them to the head. We want the family to really be family and remain as family even as we grow larger in number. That is what Jesus was referring to, something greater. And that's the body of Christ, the church, my brothers and sisters. Have you seen it? Not just understand it, but have we really seen it? That we can manifest to the world the character of our Father. That we can manifest to the world that we love one another. And it says there in John chapter 17, in verse 4, Jesus said that, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me and they have kept your word." I have manifested your name, your character. And that is what the family of God manifests. That's the body of Christ. We manifest the character of our Father. We manifest the character of Jesus. That we live and walk as He lived and walked on this earth. That's our calling. Something greater. And the greatest work that you and I can do on this earth is to be part in building the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters. I hope in this conference that we'll be gripped with that. That's what's gripped my heart. And I've given myself, I want to spend my whole lifetime building the body of Christ. I don't care if I don't travel. I don't care that God has not called me to travel. God has called me to look after the flock here in Bangalore. That's my calling. And even if I'm not an elder, I would still want to build the body of Christ. Because that's the greatest work that we can ever do. It was on the day of Pentecost that the kingdom of God was ushered in, of which both John the Baptist and Jesus preached. Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And the church has come as part of the kingdom of God. On that day, on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. It was not something that was started by the apostles. Now that Jesus had gone, let's start something. The church was born. The Holy Spirit was poured out. That's what I believe, and that's what happened 37 years ago in Bangalore. I'll never forget that day in that little home there in Brother Zach and Sister Annie. The church was born. When we came out of the denomination, because we wanted more. We wanted more of God. We wanted the whole counsel of God. If there was something in the scriptures, we wanted to not only we believe it, to live it, and to teach it to others. And so on that day, I believe the church was born, and we have given ourselves, I've given myself, to building the body of Christ. Because it's the body of Christ, it's the church, which is the dwelling of God in the Spirit. That's what we read, the habitation of God in His Spirit. It's a building. It's not just it's not an institution, an organization. God forbid if that ever happens. We want it to be a family. We want it to remain as a family, and we want to give ourselves in building this family, in building the body of Christ. And that's what I want you to recognize, that that's the central theme of the whole counsel of God. The whole purpose of God that we proclaim is that the body, the church, is built. If that doesn't happen, there's something wrong. Maybe we don't have, like we heard, we don't understand the whole counsel of God. But in understanding the whole counsel of God and proclaiming it, we build the body of Christ. And Satan has sought to corrupt that and hinder God's purpose with substitutes and counterfeits, as it happened again and again when Jesus was on the earth. The life that God offered was substituted by ritual. They became religious, And people were so religious that they rejected him. They refused to accept him. Religiosity and form took the place of reality and godliness. And that can happen. I can never say that can, no, that can't happen to CFC Bangalore. That can happen. Where religiosity and form take the place of reality and godliness. Where the life that God offers just becomes a ritual. We have our meetings, we have our singing, we listen to a message, but our lives are not touched. And that is what we have to watch, my brothers and sisters. Today, the church, for some people, has become a subject for discussion, just like it was when his physical body was born 2,000 years ago. The Bible scholars had all their facts correct. They could go to the book of Micah and said, yes, in Bethlehem, he was to be born. But they missed it. The wise men, they were led to Bethlehem. But like we heard, they went to the wrong place. But thankfully, they came to the right place. But we can know all about the body of Christ. I can understand it. I can preach it. But if I don't really experience it, I can be like those scholars. But it didn't affect their lives. It was shepherds to whom God revealed the good news. Shepherds, uneducated shepherds, who God led to see the physical body of Christ. And that's how it is today. I believe that If we are willing to humble ourselves, if we are willing to be broken, then God will help us to see. God will open our eyes. He'll give us understanding. And then we will really see, not just understand it, that this is the greatest work I can ever do on this earth. More than my job, more than anything else that I can ever get in this world, this is the greatest work I can do. And to be gripped with it. I need my eyes to be open. I need not just to be like those scholars, understanding it and talking about it, but to really experience it and to see it in reality in my own local church, that we are a body of Christ, we are the family of God. In Jeremiah, I want you to look at this word in Jeremiah chapter 7. There's some words there, some verses there I'd like you to look at. What God said to Jeremiah, you know, where people had become religious, they were so backslidden. And God said to them, he said, do not trust in deceptive words saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Behold, you are trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and offer sacrifices to Baal, and walk after other gods that you have not known? Then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, that you may do all these abominations? Has this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I have seen it, declares the Lord. Therefore I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to the place which I gave you and your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. I will cast you out of my sight, I will cast out all your brothers and all the offspring of Ephraim. And when Jesus lived on the earth, exactly what God said to Jeremiah, to his people, they said, the temple of the Lord, the temple. So I can speak about the body of Christ, I can glory that I understand it. But like it was for God's people in Jeremiah's day, they spoke about it, that don't trust in deceptive words and think they are. I am in CFC. I am in the body of Christ. But how is it affecting my life to be part of the body of Christ? Am I really being built up? How is it? There, God said there, you murder, you commit adultery, you swear falsely and offer sacrifice, and then you come before me and say, this is the body of Christ, this is the body of Christ. And God says it's deceptive words. And Jesus, when he lived on the earth, he had to take a whip twice in his ministry to cleanse his father's house, which had become a den of robbers. In John chapter 2, verse 16, he says, and Jesus said to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my father's house a place of business. The Jews then said to him, "What sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body, so that when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. The church can never become a place of business. We may not do business. That has also happened in our midst in Bangalore. People who come to the church do business. Good place to do business. But I can do business because may not be with money or with literal business, but I want to make a name for myself. I want to get some recognition. I want to be praised. I want to be thanked. Then I've missed something. And Jesus has to do what he did there. These things have to be torched. In Hebrews chapter 12, that all religiosity, all my looking for myself and for my own interests has to be burnt up. It has to be cleansed. Then I can contribute to the purity of the body of Christ. But if I come with my hidden agenda, and if I come with other intentions, that I want to make a name for myself, I want to be something here. I want the brothers and sisters to know that I have a gift, I have a ministry. Then I'm contributing to death in that body. And all this, the work of man, my brothers and sisters, has to be destroyed. That's what I want. That has been something that I've seen through the years. The work of man has to be destroyed. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple and I will build it up in 3 days." And I have seen that. And sometimes even that which had initially begun well, but then degenerated into the work of man, has had to be pulled down and demolished. I've seen Brother Zach had to do that many times. Not renovated or repaired. It has to be pulled down. The work of man should not be renovated or repaired. I've seen that. And the work that God does in your life and my life is not renovation. I once thought it was like that. No, He demolishes. He has to demolish everything in our lives that is not of Him. And He builds afresh. He's not in the business of renovation or repair. And we see that if something is to begin, I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen in different places. As we have shared together, I've seen it happen in one particular place where Brother Zach said, "Close it down. Close down this church." And I was visiting and I was going once a month to that church. And for a couple of years, it was destroyed. The work of man was destroyed. But then God raised up one brother with a burden and gave him grace. And today there's a flourishing church there. And I'm speaking about Hyderabad. The work of man has to be destroyed, my brothers and sisters. We cannot renovate it. We cannot repair it. It's only demolition. God is in the business of demolition, not renovation. And I've seen that. And in our local church, I cannot try to renovate. I have to tell somebody, I was saying to somebody a couple of weeks ago, I said, "Brother, I've listened to you for the last 1 hour and you've spoken to me only about yourself and what you're doing in your passion for Christ." I said, "I have only one word for you. You've got to fall into the ground and die. And then you'll bear fruit." I don't know how he took it. But that's how it is. That's what I've seen God do in my own life. He didn't renovate me. He demolished a lot of things that had to be demolished. And God, in Jeremiah in chapter 18, we know the story there when God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. And there he saw the potter making something on the wheel. He said, but the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. And I believe that, you know, when a potter sees that something's gone wrong, he has to just bring that whole clay, break it up again, and start all over again. And that's what God does, my brothers and sisters. That's how the church is born. I don't believe in planting churches. Brother Zach has not gone around planting churches. The brothers who have grace have not gone around planting churches. The church has to be born. And when we see that, and when we become involved in that, it truly is a great work. It's the greatest work that we can ever do on this earth. I know I've seen it, I don't say this in mere words to you, but I've given myself because I see this is the greatest work that I can ever do on this earth. And I hope that we'll be gripped with that, with understanding the whole counsel of God, that the purpose of God is with the church. That is the central theme of the whole counsel of God. What God has in mind and what God has on His heart is that the church is born, the church is built up, and in every place where God bears testimony, that we can see a local expression of the body of Christ, a local expression of the church, and then I give myself to building it up. There's no greater work than that. Many people are just interested in making a name for ourselves, for themselves. In Genesis chapter 11, after the flood, they want to be reunited, and they said, "Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us burn bricks." And if you look at that passage, it says, "Let us." They had their own agenda. They didn't want God. God came down and brought confusion there. And that's what happens when it's let us, and I want to make a name for myself. I want my church to be the best church. Or I want to do something impressive. God brings confusion. Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked over Babylon and said, is this not Babylon which I have built? And I've thought of that many times, that we can never take credit. And for all God's grace and blessing upon us here in Bangalore, at no time can we ever, no time, I believe Brother Zach is everything, this is what I have built, and how God has worked in this country and worked in different other countries also, and blessed and borne witness to the work that He does. No time I've seen that He has ever taken credit for it. Both places it is Babylon. What happened when they said, let us make a name for ourselves, and when Nebuchadnezzar looked over Babylon and said, is this not Babylon? Is this not the city I have built? And we who have responsibility, does it ever enter our mind? Oh, this is what I have built. The church has been blessed because of me. I am building Babylon, and that has to be destroyed. And I want to say that I've seen two things in our brother Zach. I have observed that in the 37 years that we have worked together, he was never interested in making a name for himself. You know, he could have made a name for himself. He could have, at one time, before the church was born, I knew him. We worked together in the denominational church. And he was a famous, popular preacher. But he was never interested in making a name for himself. Once the church was born, he never sought to build his own kingdom. That's the second thing I've seen. He was only interested in proclaiming the kingdom of God and building the body of Christ. And I've sought to follow his example. And may the Lord raise up a generation among us, my brothers and sisters, as we get older, a generation of young people who will follow in his footsteps, who will follow in the footsteps of elders who are not interested in making a name for themselves, who are not interested in taking any credit. They're only interested in building the body of Christ. Yeah. And just like Nehemiah, you know, Nehemiah had a goal. He wanted to build the walls of Jerusalem, and nothing was going to hinder or discourage him. I want you to turn to a few verses there. Nehemiah in chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. There were a lot of people who were against what he was doing, and that's what we have experienced through the years. There's been a lot of opposition, there's been a reproach. And in the early days, people wrote against Brother Zach, they wrote against the church. and met a lot of opposition, just like this man faced when he sought to build the walls of Jerusalem. And he left his job, and this was his one purpose, that he had to build the walls, he had to go back. And he took leave from the king, and he met with all the oppositions there. And it says there in Jeremiah chapter 6, it says in verses 3 and 4, "So I sent messengers to them, saying, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down." I like that, the spirit of that man. "I'm doing a great work." His great work was not being the king's cupbearer. He was close to the king there. His great work was building the walls of Jerusalem. And your great work and my great work is not what we do to earn our living, my brothers and sisters. Let us see that our great work is to build the body of Christ. So I sent messengers to them saying, "I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?" They sent messengers to me 4 times in this manner, and I answered them in the same way. What a man. I like the spirit of that man. He didn't have the Holy Spirit, but he had a vision. And God had put a burden on his heart. We have the Holy Spirit today. We can do something greater. Jesus said, "Greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." And if you look at Matthew chapter 12, I would encourage you to read that whole chapter sometime and see that at the end of what Jesus spoke about something greater, while he was speaking to the crowds, this is the other thing I want you to see. "Behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, 'Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you.' But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, 'Behold, my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" That is the body of Christ. That is the family of God. My attachment is not to my own flesh and blood family. I don't neglect them. We are to care for our families. We'll be worse than unbelievers if we don't care for them. We love and care and we provide for them. We spend time with them, especially when we have growing children. That's our responsibility. We cannot build a church if we fail in our home life. The church is our extended family. And we have often encouraged families in Bangalore to take time with their wives and their children. We have had to say to brothers, you know, cut short some of the meetings you have during the week so that you can spend time with your family. Because it's there in our home that we can build the church. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, and we have a partner who knows the Lord, we have a church there. And if I care for my family, I can care for the church. They both go hand in hand. And here again I want to say that I've seen Brother Zach as an example, the way he's brought up his family. I don't flatter him. I can say before God, I don't know what it is to flatter. But I speak the truth, and I'm glad that I can point to examples. And I see the way that he has brought up his family. I see the way that he has cared for the church in the years we worked together as elders. And we see God has blessed, God has borne witness. So our families don't suffer. People are so afraid. When I've said to some brothers and sisters, sometimes I said, "You've got to be a disciple. You've got to hate father and mother, brother, sister, wife and children in your own life. Take up the cross and deny yourself and be a disciple." But some have been so hesitant. "Oh, what will happen? My dad will have a heart attack. My mother will get sick." And they can't, they're afraid of offending relatives. You can't build the body of Christ. You will just be a spectator. Now I can testify before God that this is my family, like Jesus said at the end of something greater than Jonah, something greater than Solomon. at the end of that, he says, who is my mother and my father and my brother and sister? Those who do the will of God. That's what happens when I become part of the body of Christ. It's not that I just attend meetings and I do things in the church. But this is family. This is my family. I'm going to spend eternity with them. And I thank God that that's what I've seen. And I've experienced all my life. And like I was saying, there will be opposition and reproach. But if we are never afraid of that, like Nehemiah was not afraid, if we go by, not afraid of it, Nehemiah chapter 4, he says it came about in verses 1 to 3, that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, what are these people Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones? We'll always face ridicule and opposition, just like Nehemiah faced it. And it says there, Tobiah the Ammonite was near him and said, even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down. And this is what was literally said many years ago when we faced severe opposition. We were taken to court. And I remember that it was said to Brother Zai. Said that even what the work that he was doing, even if a fox jumped on it, it would be broken down. Now we take no credit, he takes no credit for it. God has borne witness. It says there in verses 6 to 9 of Nehemiah chapter 4, so we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. I like that. I like that. If we have a heart for God, if like we heard, if I know the Lord and I'm walking with Him, I will get others also in my family, in my own home. If I have a heart for God, I can take my family with me. They may go, my children may go through their different difficult stages, but ultimately I can bring them to the Lord. And that's how it is. That if I have a heart for God, if I'm not looking for my own interests, I'm not seeking to build a name for myself or get a reputation in the church, I want to build the brothers and sisters up. I want to connect them to Jesus. I want the family to become richer. And then others also will have a mind to work. And I like that there. And if we who have responsibility, we who are elders, if we give ourselves wholeheartedly, I have no other interests, people will have a mind to work. There will be young people who would also be gripped and have the same vision. And it says there further, now when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. And I see that's how it's happened. Religious people get angry. And that's what we have faced through the years. Religious people, mainly paid preachers, get angry and disturbed. I've seen that. And get angry and disturbed with what we stand for, what Brother Zach has preached and taught. That tithing is not a New Testament command. And preachers will get angry. Just like it was. It says all of them conspired together, if you look at further down in that, to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God, and because of them we set up a guard against them day and night. I like the humility of that man. That when they faced opposition, they didn't try to fight back. They didn't try to explain and justify themselves. We prayed to our God. And they were on the alert. And that's how we are to be in the church, my brothers and sisters. That we pray to God when we face opposition, when we face ridicule, that we don't get demoralized, that we remain strong and firm so that others also have a mind to work. And we are on the alert. We keep an eye on those, Paul says, on those who cause dissensions in the church. We are so protective. Just like we are protective of our own families, that we are protective of the brothers and sisters, and we see somebody who's trying to cause dissension. We pray that God gives us grace to handle it. What is required for such a work to be part of this something greater? Like I said, the greatest work we can ever do on this earth. What is required? I believe our eyes need to be opened. I don't need to understand it. My eyes need to be opened. I need to understand in my heart. I need to differentiate between the work of man and the work of God. And be willing to tear down and demolish the work of man in my own life first, and even in what God has called us to do. And I have seen that, like I just said a little while ago, as I worked together with Brother Zach, I've seen that that's how we have sought to do it, that we gather together those who are poor in spirit. So if I'm poor in spirit, if I learn humility and gentleness of heart from Jesus, there are people who have tried to, there are brothers who have tried to be like him and preach like him, and then make a mess of their lives. But there are others we have sought to correct, and I had to say to one brother, I said, see, you're trying to preach like Brother Zach. Don't do it. You'll destroy yourself. And I'm so glad that he took that correction. Today that brother has responsibility in the church. And it's gone so well with him. So we need to have that humility and gentleness of heart that we learned from Jesus. And that I think I've got to set things right and lash out at people and preach from the pulpit. I've never sought to do that. I destroy the church. I destroy the family if I want to settle my scores from the pulpit. I do much harm to the body of Christ. So I believe that we need to have that brokenness like we heard, that humility and gentleness of heart. We learn it from Jesus. And the other thing I want to see, that we need grace to do this great work. We cannot decide that we cannot after this conference decide, now I'm going to go and build the body of Christ. I need grace. And that grace also is recognized by others, just like Paul and Barnabas. When they visited the apostles in Jerusalem, they recognized the grace that was given them. I sometimes feel that in our churches, and I've seen that even in our own church, that people are not willing, brothers are not willing to recognize the grace that is given to somebody else. And then they can get into competition, they become jealous, and then they want to pull somebody down, like we heard. But if we learn to recognize the grace that God has given, and be willing to support such a person, then I contribute to building the family of God, to building the church. And the second thing I want you to see, that to do this great work, we need to be equipped with the greatest power on earth, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not optional, my brothers and sisters. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. The greatest power on earth to do the greatest work on earth. That is how God equips us. Paul's praying for the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 18 to 20. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the surpassing greatness of his power. Among other things that he said, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, that is how the church was born in Bangalore. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we had to leave a denominational church that didn't believe it, didn't want us preaching it. But we said, no, we see it in the Word of God. This is what we stand for. This is not an accessory. It is essential. If I am to build the body of Christ, I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. And not just once and for all, what happened in 1975, but every day. I can hardly think of a day that I don't really seek the Lord. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that I can do your will this day. Every day when I get up from my bed, that's the prayer I pray to God. I thank Him and praise Him and I say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I try to do that every day. Because I cannot do anything for God without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not an optional accessory, my brothers and sisters. Like you get, you know, different electronic gadgets and they say optional. You know, an accessory which is optional. And for many, I'm sad to say, even in our churches, even in CFC Bangalore, people think it's optional. Yeah. Many times we ask, you know, ask a brother, ask a sister, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? They're not very sure. Very few who can say yes. But I want to say to all of us that I cannot build the body of Christ without the power of the Holy Spirit, without being baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. This is essential. Otherwise, whatever I do will not last. It will just be a religious work. And I want to say that. And I thank God that God brought me to need in my life. There are many times in shepherding the flock in Bangalore that God has brought me to need. And Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say in this situation. I don't know what advice to give this brother or sister. Lord, give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize that because I feel that we are losing it. We think it's an accessory. I want to say it's essential. It's compulsory. If I want to build the body of Christ, I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and know it. And I can know it. And how would I know it? The third thing, finally, I want to say that hearts need to be filled with the love of God. Love for God and love for people, especially His people. It's not a philanthropic love or a soulish love, but that which is from the Spirit of God. Romans 5:5 says that the Holy Spirit pours into our hearts the love of God. That I can experience the love of God in my heart. I love God with all my heart. And I love the brothers and sisters. Love them just as Jesus loves me. Jesus said, had to say to religious people of his day, go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. I cannot build the church. This is the third thing I want to say, my brothers and sisters. If I don't have the love of God in my heart, if the love of God does not flood me, if I don't have a love for people, if I don't have the compassion of Jesus. He looked at people, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he felt sorry for them because they were distressed and harassed by the religious leaders. I've seen that spirit in our brother, Zach. That's something I've learned and something that I have received. I love people. I love God's people. I love my brothers and sisters. The love of God has filled my heart. And let anyone say anything or do anything, I cannot hate them. Because the love of God has flooded my heart. And that's how it was with Jesus. He had compassion for people. He says, go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 12. He says, if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not condemn the innocent. The love of God which surpasses knowledge, that's the third thing that I need. If I'm to be in this greatest work, if I'm to do the greatest work that I can ever do on this earth, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the love of God flooding my heart. If I don't have it, I cannot build the body of Christ. If I get upset with people, get disturbed because they speak or say things about me or my family, I'm not fit to build the body of Christ. So may God help us and open our eyes, my brothers and sisters, that we would see what God has called you and me to do. That we can understand the whole counsel of God. We can proclaim it to others. And the result of it is the body of Christ is built. And one day we will see and be part of it in its all its glory. In Revelation chapter 22. And John saw the bride, the heavenly Jerusalem, coming down. Adorned as a bride, it says, for her husband. And it says there, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them. They shall be His people and God Himself will be among them. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. That is the church. We get a taste of that of Revelation 22. We get a taste of it. We can see it with our spiritual eyes and be caught up. And one day we're going to see it in all its glory, and I will be part of it. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. This is the church, and God invites you and me, my brothers and sisters, to be engaged in this greatest work that you and I can ever do on this earth. Amen.